begin the current daf, Masechtas Kedushin, daf Chaf Hei. We begin on the second line down for the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. That is, our Mishnah spoke about the halachas of an Eved Kanani, about a non-Jewish slave, that how he could be acquired, and how he could acquire himself back, how he could free himself from slavery. So our Mishnah mentioned regarding Kesev and Shtar, regarding redeeming himself with money, and by receiving his Shtar Shechar. Then the Gemara quoted a Braisa that says that there's another way how he gets released. One way of that is mentioned in the Torah, which talks about if the master knocks out his tooth or his eye. Then the Gemara explained that it's not just a tooth and an eye. We learn it out from there that actually applies to the Chavdal Rashi Yavarm, to the 24 tips of the limbs, where there the criterion is that it's a Mum Shebegoloi and it's Einem Chayzer. It's a revealed blemish and it doesn't come back. Those things, if the master breaks those parts off, he goes free too. Now, Gemara continues on that halacha and brings the following incident. Save de Nezonya. The elders of Nezonya, which is the name of a place, like Asu Lepirke de Rav Chizda, they didn't come to the lecture that Rav Chizda had given. So Amalei Rav Amnuna, so Rav Chizda said to Rav Amnuna, Zil Tzan Inhu. Go ahead and make them go into hiding. Now, what he was telling him was to tell the elders that they should lock themselves up and stay in their houses. Because that is the Nidui, which is an excommunication that's applicable to Talmudic sages. As the Gemara says in Ma'id Kat and Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, which is, it's an honorable way of saying, look, you cannot join the community, you're in excommunication, stay in your house. And because you didn't come to the lecture, it was an inappropriate thing, he said, put him in chayim. So Azal Amlehu, so Rav Nuna came to the elders and he said to them, my time, Allah Asra Ban Lepirka, what's going on? Why didn't you come to the lecture the Rav Chizda gave? So Amr Le, they said to him, Amai Nasi, why should we come? So we have asked of him a question, and they didn't answer us. So Amalahu, so Rav Nuna said to them, and Mefarshim explained the discrepancy over here, it sounds like that they're talking about Rav Chizda, and he says regarding himself, Rav Nuna said, did you ever ask of me something, and I didn't answer you? So the Gemara tells us that so they asked from him the following question, which relates to the topic of the previous daf. What's halacha regarding a slave that his master emasculated him, which is it's causing damage to the testicles of the slave? What's the halacha over there? So the Gemara explains the question. Do we say that it's similar to a revealed blemish because the testicles hang in the sac, the scrotum, and it's recognizable from the outside? You could see when he's just standing over there in the revealed way that you see that's a revealed blemish and it's something that doesn't come back. Hence, that would be like the Chavdal Rashi Yavarm that it would go free. Or maybe no, because even though it's the sack is revealed, but it's concealed inside the scrotum, inside the sack, and therefore it's not really revealed. So you don't see what the damage was inside. So maybe it's not like a Mum Shebegoloi. That was the question they asked him. So the Gemara tells us, Lo Hav B'Yadei. Rav Amnuna didn't have the answer to that question. So Amaloi, they said to him, Ma Shemech, what's your name? Amalahu, he said to them, Hamnuna, my name's Hamnuna. So Amrali, they said to him, Lav Hamnuna. No, your name's not Hamnuna, El Karnuna, which that's from the term of corner, where you're from the Yeshvei Kronis. You're there from those who sit and idling and battling in the corners, and you're not a Baal Torah. You're not someone that learns Torah. You don't even know the answer to the question that we asked of you. Now, Asli Kamed Rav Chizda, Rav Nuna came and told over to Rav Chizda what had happened. So Amrali, Rav Chizda said to Rav Hamnuna, Masnita Bayimanach. The question they asked you is really an explicit braisa, whereas the Gemara will shortly quote, it's a braisa that was taught in regards to the Mishnah in the Goyim, where Rebbe adds on Af Hasirus, where from there you learn out the answer to this question. That's not like we learn the Mishnah Masechtas in the Goyim. The Mishnah over there says, Esrim Varba Rashi Evarm Sheba Adam. There are 24 tips of limbs that are in a person, and Kulam Ein Metamin Mishum Michya. All of those areas do not become tamei as due to the amichya, which is one of the names of the types of negoim that there are, where it says the pasuk in Mayukah Yud Gimel says umichya is basur chai, which is a type of raw skin that's bisa'es in a se'es. So there's a type of a nega, and inside this raw skin, that's what's called amichya. Now the pasuk says over there l'chol mari ene hakoyin, that the way the nega becomes tamei is that the koyin sees it. And he judges it, and he says that that's a nega, and then that's how it becomes a tumas nega. So it says it has to be visible to the eyes of the kohen, where the pasuk teaches us it has to be visible in one sight. That excludes a michya in these areas which have a slope on either side, where you can't see the top of the nega and the bottom of the nega together at the same time. You could look at it at different angles, but it can't be one shot. The Elohim, and these are those 24 areas. They're the Rashi Etzbois Yidayim Raglayim, the fingertips of the hands and the feet. So you have 10 and 10, that's 20. You have Rashi Eznayim, the tips of the ears. V'resh HaChaitim, the tip of the nose. V'resh HaGviya, and the tip of the male member. V'rashi Dadim Shabi'isha, and the tips of a woman's breast. Whereas regarding a man's, they don't stick out that much, and therefore there's not that much of a slant, and therefore you could see it at one time. Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, he disagrees. He says, Af Shabi'ish. Says, even by the man's breast, where he holds that you can't see it because it slopes, you can't see it all at one time. So these areas, says the Mishnah Masechet Nagayim, will not qualify for tumas michya of a nega because it has to be l'chol mari ein akayin, you can't see it at one shot. That's what the Mishnah there is talking about. Now, v'tani Allah, and we had learned a brisa based on that Mishnah that says that b'kulam, regarding all these 24 Rashi Evarim, if the master of a slave cut them off, they're first of all a mumsha b'goli, they're in a revealed place, it's not internal, it's revealed, and moreover, they don't grow back. So therefore, says the Tana of the Brisa, Eved Yetzer B'Mlecheres. So the slave will go back to freedom because it qualifies for also what we said are the criterion of what frees the slave when his master knocks out Hashem Ba'ayim. Now, Rebbe, I mean, he says Af Hasirus. He adds on regarding the halachas of freeing a slave, not regarding the Tumah of Michya, but rather regarding the freeing of the slave. He adds on also the emasculation of the testicles of the slave. Now, as Rashi points out, although he was coming to add on what's considered for the freeing of the slave, he didn't have to mention so to Shen Va'ayin, which is not mentioned over there in that Mishnah Masechet Nagayim to qualify that it ever goes free when those parts are knocked out too, because that's an explicit pasuk, and anyone reading Chumash would know that, and the Tanna Kamma, of course, wouldn't disagree with that. But what he is adding on is not just these things which the Tanna Kamma had said correlating to the halachas of a nega, but also regarding Siris. Now, Benazai Eimer, he says Af Haloshen. He says also the tongue, because he says it does qualify for both points, because it's something that wouldn't grow back. And moreover, it is normative when the person is talking to see their tongue, and therefore he says that that's considered a Mum Shabagoli. So one thing that we see, however, is that the question that they had asked of him was a Machlekes in Tanna Kamma and Rebbe, where Tanna Kamma did not consider Sirus, whereas Rebbe did. So regarding emasculating the Beitzim of an Eved, that was actually machloikis in this brisa. But now that we introduce this brisa, the Gemara says, Amamar. And again, this is Rav Chizda actually concluding the question that the elders had asked him, where Rebbe Eime Afasirus. Rebbe said that it's not just the 24 Rashi Evarim, but also emasculating. Now, so that's the whole genital area. So on that, Rav Chizda explains, Sirus Demai. What was Rebbe adding on when he was talking about emasculating the genital area? Elim is serious to give if you would entertain to say that it's regarding the male member. Well, Hainu Gevia. Well, that's what was mentioned already in the Tana, in the Mishnah Masechtas Nagoyim, already spoke about regards to Halacha of Nega, which was the tip of the Gid, and the Tana Kama already said that regarding all those 24 areas, a slave would go free. So what would Rebbe be adding on if he's saying Afa Sirus if that's already included in those which the Tana Kama mentioned? El Alav, Sirus debates him, rather, it must be referring to the series of the Beitzim. So that's Rav Chizda was telling Rav Amnuna, obviously the question that these elders had asked of you is an explicit brisa where it's a machlekes between the Rabbanon and Rabbi. That was that discussion, again, which related to the halachas of the previous staff regarding is that considered something that would free a slave or not? It's a machlekes. Now, the Gemara discusses this brisa now in greater detail and asks, Rebbe Eimer Afasirus. So Rebbe disagreed with the Tanna Kamma, and again, related to that question they had asked him, that also regarding Sirus, that will free, emasculating of the testicles of a slave, will free the slave from slavery. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, however, Rebbe Loshen Loi, but according to Rebbe, if he would cut the slave's tongue, that wouldn't free him. In other words, he doesn't consider that a Mum Shabagoli, or revealed blemish, because it sounds like when you read the Brisa, there was a Tanna Kamma, who said only the 24 mentioned over there relates to the 24 that will free a slave. Rebbe added on also emasculating, and Benazi said even the tongue. So it sounds like that it's only Benazi holds like that, but not Rebbe. So now the Gemara asks, is that so? But Verminu, this seems to be contradicted from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Hare Misha Hayamaza. If there was someone that was spraying where there's the halacha of someone becomes has a tumah from a mess, So he has to be purified on day 3 and day 7 of his purification process from Tumas Mes with the ashes of the Paraduma. So it says that if someone was spraying onto a person that was Tame, V'nitza haza al piv. Now, the spraying of these ashes with the water fell on the mouth of the person that became Tame. In other words, you just have to spray it on him. It has to touch his body. But it actually, where it landed was on his mouth. So we have a machlokes. Rabbi Omer, he says that's considered that he was sprayed. Although, as we'll later learn, the halacha is that the spraying, that when it touches the Tame person, it has to be in the revealed place. Says Rabbi, his mouth is considered a revealed place. So therefore, that would purify him. But Chachamim lehiza. Chachamim would disagree. They say, no, it's not considered a valid spraying because it has to hit a revealed part of his body, and the peh is not considered a revealed part. Now, so the Gemara says, my love alashayne. Obviously, the mouth is of course a revealed part. So when the Rebbe and the Rabbana are disagreeing regarding if it's considered haza or not, when they're talking about the mouth, they must be talking about the tongue of the mouth. And still we see that Rebbe holds it's considered haza. So we see that he holds that it is considered a makim shebogoli. So how could we say that only Benazai says avalashin, and it sounds like Rebbe disagreed with that, and he considers it not a mum shebogoli? So the Gemara says, no, it's not a difficulty. Al-safasav, it's talking about the lips. That was the machlokes between Rebbe and the Rabbana, not the tongue. Because Rebbe, you're right, as we see for the previous brayso, would hold that's considered Sheba Taman. It's hidden, it's mechusa. And Sheba Goli is only, let's say, Afasiris and the other 24 areas. Here he's talking about the lips. So the Gemara says, Al-Svasa, Pshita, what do you mean on the lips? If it's obvious, actually even the Chacham wouldn't disagree. Of course it would be considered Hazza because it's revealed. What would the Chiddush be in Rebbe, and why would the Chacham disagree over there? So the Gemara says, no, it's not a difficulty, because we would think that sometimes a person presses his lips tight together until you actually don't see the lips revealed. And since sometimes they're hidden when you keep them tightly pressed together, maybe they wouldn't be considered a revealed part of the person's body. So therefore, if his lips are tightly shut and it hits over there, maybe we considered not a Malkam Shabagola, and it would not be considered Hazar. That's the machlekes Rebbe and the Chacham. The Chacham holds, yes, you're right, it's not considered haza, and Rebbe holds it is haza. But the Gemara says, no, that can't be the interpretation. Because Vatanya will in the Brice explicitly that says, Al Lashoinoi, that the machlekes Rebbe and the Chacham was not regarding the sefasayim, the lip part of the mouth, but rather on the tongue part. Vatanya, moreover, another proof of this is we learned in the Brice regarding the blemishes of a firstborn, which is taught regarding the Bechairis, a firstborn animal. There's halachic differences if it's blemished or not. If it doesn't have a blemish, you bring it as a carbon. If it does, then the kohen gets to keep it. So it says over there, v'shenitel reiv halashon. If the majority of the tongue was taken off, that's considered a mum of the bechair. Now Rebbe, he disagrees. He says, even if it's only reiv hamedaber shel lashonai, only the majority of the talking part of the tongue. In other words, the part of the tongue where it's connected to the top palate of the mouth, which is the part that's actually the talking part. Now, Rashi just points out, although obviously talking by an animal is not applicable, it's still called the medaber part, the talking part of the tongue, since by a person, that's the talking part. So that's what Rebbe says, even just the majority of that part of the tongue would already be considered a mum by the bechair. But one thing that we see, we know that a mum is only, that's shebegoli, that's revealed. So obviously Rebbe holds that the tongue is considered a revealed part. So if that's the case, must be that was the machlokes he had in the brayso we just quoted with the Chacham regarding the tongue. And if that's the case, then the previous brayso is difficult, because it sounds like that only Benazai held the tongue is considered a revealed part to free the slave, and Rebbe considered not. Only the emasculation of the basin did he consider a revealed part. So the Gemara explains, you're right. Ella, rather, Rebbe Oymis Sirus, when we said in the brayso that Rebbe says that the emasculating of the slave is considered a revealed part of his body, although it's concealed in the scrotum, so that it wasn't only the serus that he considers a revealed part to free the slave. And that is v'loy meboy lashon. And he didn't have to tell you that for sure the tongue would free the slave, because he was telling you just a bigger chiddush in the basin where there it's always concealed in this kiss, whereas by the tongue it's even sometimes revealed. So then for sure Rebbe was saying not just serus but also lashon. As we brought in the previous brayso, he considers the lashon a revealed part of the body. Now ben azay oimer lashon, but ben azay said only the tongue of a serious slave. But not, he actually disagrees on Rebbe, considers serious not going to free the slave. It's not considered revealed because it's hidden inside the scrotum. Now, umayaf, And how do we interpret when Ben Azai said, if you read the Brisa, it says, the Tanakama, it says, Rebbe adds even Siris, and Ben Azai says, even the Lashon. So it sounded like that Rebbe was adding on more than Tanakama, and Ben Azai adding on more than Rebbe, but that's not true. We just explained that actually Rebbe holds a Ben Azai, and Ben Azai is less than Rebbe. So the Gemara explains, my Af, what is the Af also that Ben Azai was saying? A Kamaisa. Wasn't going on Rebbe's opinion. It was going back on what the Tanakama had said. On the 24 different Rashi Yevarim mentioned in Masechet Nagoyim, where the Tanakama had said those blemishes from the master will free the slave. On that, Ben Azai was adding regarding a slave also the tongue, but not on Rebbe. Now, then the question is, but if that's the case, and that's what was bothering us originally, then the Kadma de Ben Azai Bereisha. Then why do you quote the Tanakama, then Rebbe, then Ben Azai? You should first say Tanakama. Then Ben Azai, who adds on a little bit more, he says the tongue, but not the Beitzim. And then you should say Rebbe, who says not just the Tanakama, but even Ben Azai, and even regarding the Beitzim. So that's normally how it is. You go the one more and more and more, especially if they're using the terminologies of Af, which sounds like they're adding on. So the Gemara says you're right, but Tana, Shama lid the Rebbe v'kava. The Tana, this Brisa, had first heard Rebbe's opinion, and he established it, appended it to the first opinion of the Tanakama, and then b'shamala de Ben Azai. Only later did he hear of Ben Azai's opinion, where you're right. Ben Azai was only adding on the tongue regarding the earlier ones of the Tanakama of the 24. So it comes out that really Ben Azai was disagreeing with Rebbe regarding Siris. Now, but the Tana, the Braisa, what he did was that he wrote down the opinion of Ben Azai regarding the tongue, using the terminology of Af, like Ben Azai had said it. Now, although if that's the case, if he's using the words of Af, the Tana should have put Ben Azai's opinion between the Tanakama and Rebbe, and only then added on Rebbe's case of even not just the Lashon, but also regarding Sirus. But the thing is that once it was already established, the Tanoic text, the Braisa, by having the Tanakama, then Rebbe, and the students were already well-versed in saying like that, because the Tana had not yet heard of Ben Azai's opinion. So all along when they're learning in Yeshiva, they're learning, okay, this is the Tanakama, and this is Rebbe. And then, a few weeks later, a few months later, he hears of Ben Azai's opinion. So therefore, what he ended up doing was, he had heard Rebbe's opinion, v'kava, and established it. V'shama l'de Ben Azai, and then he heard of Ben Azai's opinion. V'tani, and then he taught Ben Azai's interpretation. Now, the thing is that Umishna, but the Mishnah, the text of Rebbe, Leizazim Im Kaimai, that already, he wasn't going to move it away from the place that it always was, and he kept it as it had been teaching up until now, where he taught the Tanakama, then Rebbe, and then he organized Ben Azai after that, and the reason is because since the text was already well-versed and fluent in the mouths of the students, it's very hard to change and to then start teaching it in a different way. So he kept it as it always was. So again, that's what he says, Tana Shamala de Rebbe Bakava. He had taught the first opinion and then that of Rebbe. And Meshamala de Ben Azai Betani, then he heard Ben Azai, then he taught that. Umishna Lezazim Kaima. And the way he was always taught, he kept it. So although it is a little misleading, but he kept it because he wanted to keep it how it was always taught and just adding on Ben Azai's opinion, where yeah, his Af is not going on Rebbe, is going back on the Tanakama. So that answers the question that we had regarding Rebbe's opinion of which we had introduced this Brisa to show that he holds that this machlik is regarding Sirus, if it's going to free the slave or not. Now, the Gemara qualifies now this machlik is that we had regarding the mouth, which we had introduced that as a proof to show that Rebbe held even of Ben Azai's halacha of Lashon, and that's why we explain now of how it was taught that really Rebbe does agree to Ben Azai and Ben Azai doesn't agree to Rebbe. So there was a brisa that said regarding the hazah of throwing on the tummy person on the mouth, which we actually concluded doesn't mean the mouth, it actually means the tongue, where Rebbe had said that it's considered hazah on the tongue, and the Chacham said, no, that's not considered hazah, it's not considered a revealed place which has to touch the tummy person to purify him. So Amar Ula Ula explains as follows. It says, Akol Moedim Belashon. Everybody agrees regarding the tongue. Le'inyin tuma, regarding the halachas of tuma. Now, regarding tuma, it's halacha that what's called maga beis hasasarim. If it touches a concealed part of a person's body, he does not become tummy. Now, the Gemara Masechet Nidah Nam Gimel Medaf learns this out from the pasuk where it says v'chol asheyiga b'hazav, that anything that a zav, who is a tummy person, is going to touch. So it says there in the pasuk v'yadav le'shatev b'maim, and if he didn't wash his hands in water. So then he's going to transmit tumma to what he touches. Now, the Gemara over there asks, what do you mean? And if he did wash his hands in water, he's going to be tar? What do you mean? You can't just purify your hands, your body with your hands. His whole body is tummy. He has to immerse his whole entire body. So the Gemara rather interprets the pasuk over there. What it's saying is that kolesh yigabah hazav, whatever the zav touches, in the revealed place of a person, of a different person, which is like his hands, that's what it says the word yadav over there. And moreover, the part of the pasuk is saying, and the zav was loy shataf, meaning not like he didn't just not wash his hands. The hands is regarding the person that he's touching. He didn't go ahead and immerse his entire body in the water where he didn't do tvila. Then that's what the pasuk is saying, b'chibas b'gadav, then the person that he's touching is going to have to wash his clothing. In other words, he's going to be able to transmit tumah to the person. But again, we see from that halacha that he only transmits tumah to another person like his hands, which is a revealed part of his body. But if it touches a concealed part of that other person's body, it's not going to transmit tumah. So says Ula, regarding the halachas of tumah, everyone agrees that the tongue is the galuhu etzel hasheretz. It's considered a revealed part of a person's body. Regarding if a sheretz touches it, then it will become tummy. My tummy, what's the reason? So he says, as it says in my yikra, ashe yigaboy amr achmana, that in that pasuk of v'yadav l'shatav b'mayim hu, the pasuk there talks and it says that whatever will touch him, says the Torah. Now, v'hayinami bar negiyuhu, that the tongue is an area just like the hand, which is revealed, that can be touched. Now, the reason being is because many times a person will stick out his tongue and it could be touched when it's revealed out in the open. So therefore, if a sheretz touches a person's tongue, says Ula, everyone would agree that he will become tummy. It's considered a revealed part of the body because it could be touched. And it could be touched when it's out in the open. So that's will qualify for asher yigaboy. Now, on the flip side, he says, le'in in tefila, regarding immersion in the mikvah, everyone agrees that the tongue is ketamen dummy, is like a concealed part of the body, and therefore the water does not have to go ahead inside a person's mouth when they're immersing themselves in a mikvah. My time, what's the reason? As it says in the Yikra, it says, V'rachatz besar b'mayim om rachman. The Torah tells you that when someone becomes tum and he has to immerse himself in the mikvah, it says that he bathes his skin, his flesh, in water. So it says, Ula ma besar ma'avroi, just like the flesh is on the outside, that's where a person has all his basar, afkal ma'avroi. So too, whatever has to be immersed in the mikveh has to be on the outside, and not that water has to come inside a person's mouth. Now, moreover, as Rashi explains, you can't even stick out your entire tongue, because part of it is inside your mouth. And we don't ever find that there's a partial immersion in the mikveh. Whereas, as Rashi says, however, conversely regarding touching the tongue, which is the halacha of tumah, where the pasuk uses the terminology of asher yigaboy, there, touching even partially part of something is considered touching it, and that would be considered negiyah, touching, and that's why to qualify for the halachas of tumah, there it will be considered galuy because it could touch it when it's out in the open. But to immerse it to be out in the open, that the tongue can never be because you can never have the entire tongue outside. So therefore it says Ula regarding tumah and tahara, no one disagrees. Regarding tumah, it's considered revealed. Regarding tahara, purifying it, it's considered concealed. You don't have to immerse that in the mikvah. Says Ula, however, lo nechlekwe elin hazah. Their homachlikus was regarding, as we mentioned them in this previous brisa, regarding being sprayed on with the paraduma ashes on day 3 and 7, and it lands on the tongue. That's specifically where they were disagreeing. Why? Because Rebbe medama lo l'tumah. Rebbe compares the halacha of hazah to the halachas of tumah, where we just said that is considered galui, and therefore it's considered revealed. It will work regarding hazah. However, the Rabban, however, compare it to Tvila, where we said that it's considered a hidden part, and therefore it will not qualify for Azza. Now, and moreover, Ula says, and they're both disagreeing in the same pasuk where it talks about this halachas of Azza, from where what should we compare Azza to Tumah or Tahara? Because the pasuk says in Mimidra as follows, it says, V'hiza hatar ala tamei begaimer, that the pure person will spray on the tamei person, etc. Now, Rabbi Sava, Rabbi holds, that there's this pasuk is in Bamidbar Yutes, where it says this whole pasuk says v'hiza atar ala tamei b'yemesh lisha b'yemesh vi, that the pure person will spray on the tamei person on day 3 and day 7 b'chitoy, and he will purify him b'yemesh vi on the 7th day v'chibis b'gadav, and will wash his garments v'rachatz b'mayim, and he'll wash himself in water, he'll immersion b'tar b'arav, and he'll be pure in the evening. Now that word v'chitoy is in the middle. Could be read with the beginning part of the pasuk, and it could be read with the last part of the pasuk, and that's exactly the machlokes Rebbe and the Rabban, as the Gemara explains. Rabbi Sava, Rabbi holds, v'hiza hatar al tamei. He reads like this. He says that the pure person sprays on the tamei person b'yom shlishi, b'yom shvi, on day 3 and day 7, v'chitoy, and he purifies him. Now, what Rebbe's expounding is almost as if it says, al ha-tamei, that he sprays him on the tamei person, v'chitoy, which means to say that the chitoy, the purification of the hazah, has to be on the place of where the tumah is. That's where the chitoy is. Now, just like tumah, we said, applies, you can become tamei from your tongue, it's considered to be a revealed part of asher yigabai, so therefore that's a part that could be sprayed on. That's why he says you compare it to the lochas of tumah. Whereas Rabban and Savri, the Rabban, however, held, no, you read it actually with the last part of the pasuk. V'chitoy b'yom ha-shvi, that you purify him on the seventh day, v'chibes b'gadav, and he washes his clothing, v'rachetz b'mayim, and he immerses himself in water, which is what that means to tell us, is that you need to have the chitoy, the purification of the spraying, that it should fall on the place which is fit to have rechitza, meaning tevila, which is not including the tongue. As we said, everyone agrees that tevila, regarding immersion, the tongue is considered that you don't need the water to go in over there. So therefore, it's not going to be a val hazah if it falls on the tongue. That's their machlekes, do you compare chitoy with the first half of the pasuk, tomat tumah, or the last part of the pasuk, tomat tevila? Now the Gemara asks, Rabbanan namin nedami l'tumah. Why didn't Rabban compare it to the first half of the pasuk, which compares it to tumah, that it would be considered valid if it falls on the tongue? So the Gemara explains, because tahara, a purification of hazah, mitahara, from another purification of tevila, havali lameil. If they held that that's more logical to learn that the halacha is a purification of hazah, and the halacha is a purification of tahara, of immersion in the mikvah. So the Gemara says, Rebbe nedami l'tevila, why doesn't Rebbe compare it to tevila like the Rabbanan? So now the Gemara answers, v'chibis begadav, because the words he washes his clothing, hifzik inyan, interrupts. Meaning, it says, v'chito b'yem eshvi, and yes, a few words later it says, v'rochetz b'mayim, to wash yourself in the water, which is tevila, but there's words, v'chibis begadav, right in between. So that makes it not connected. Whereas regarding the halachas of al ha-tamei, it's connected, where it's al ha-tamei b'yem eshlishi b'yem eshvi v'chitoy, so therefore he says it's more logical to learn it on regarding the halachas of tumah, and that's why he considers it a makam magula, and therefore that it would be a valid hazah. So that explains their machlekes. Now, however, the Gemara asks that one of the things Ula said was that everyone agrees regarding tevila that it's considered a hidden part of the body, that you don't have to have the mikvah or gargling water inside when you're immersing yourself. Now, that the Gemara asks, is that really so? The Sava Rebbe Lin and tevila ketamadami, does Rebbe really hold that the mouth, meaning inside that, which includes the tongue, that the tongue is considered concealed? But Va'amar Rav and Amar Rav Ada, Amar Rav Yitzchak, he says that Maisa b'shivcha shal beis Rebbe, there was an incident with the maidservant of the household of Rebbe, Shetav Lava also, where she immersed herself in the mikvah, and she came out. V'nimtza etzem b'chinah, now it turns out that she had a bone between her teeth. V'tzricha Rebbe tevila acheres, and Rebbe required her to go ahead and immerse herself again after she cleaned out her teeth, because of what's known as a chatzitza, there's an interposition from the mikvah waters touching the entirety of the person's body. Now, obviously, you see that Rebbe requires the water to come inside the mouth, where he was so concerned that the fact that she had a bone inside of there, that means to say the water couldn't have gotten between the teeth to touch every crevice of the woman's body. So you see that he considers it a makam magula, and that it is a place where the mikveh has to go to. So how can we say that Ula said that everyone agrees that regarding tevila, the tongue is considered a makam machusa, that it doesn't have to go to? So the Gemara explains, not a difficulty. Nehid be ismaim lebe'inan, although Ula is correct that water actually does not have to go into the mouth, but makam harou lava by mayim be'inan. But interestingly, it has to be a place where water could, if it were to, go into and touch every part of the body. And therefore the halachas of chatzitza, of interposition, would apply in between the teeth. Now, where do we find such a phenomenon? Could Reb Zera, like Reb Zera said? Dam Reb Zera, like Reb Zera said, and this is regards to halacha mesachtes menachas on the kuf gimel mabez, where the halacha is brought over there that one cannot bring a mincha, flour offering, of 61 isroinim in one utensil. Now, the reason is because the rabbis had qualified that you wouldn't be able to mix a mincha very well if you have 61 in one vessel. Now, the Gemara there asks, what's the difference? Who cares that you wouldn't be able to mix the flour with the oil and everything very well together? But we learned in the Mishnah that says, if you don't mix the flour offering, it's still kosher. So who cares that you cannot? Who cares? You don't have to anyway. It'll be kosher anyway. So it's regarding that Reb Zera says, no. Whatever is fit to be mixed, then ain't bila ma'keves boy. Then you're right, mixing will not withhold the validity, and even if you don't mix it, it'll be kosher. But for she'ainu ro'u labila, but what you wouldn't even to be feasible to be mixed, for example, when you have 61 destroying them in one vessel, then be lamar kevis ben. And actually, the halacha of mixing it will withhold the validity because that has to at least be possible to be mixed. And the Gemara there learns out the source for that halacha. Now, Taisus wonders that, okay, so that's a halacha we know regarding mincha, but regarding tevila, where does Rebbe know this phenomena that, similar to like a halacha of mincha, that you said that the tongue is considered a hidden part and the water doesn't have to go in there. Why do you need it to be ra'u, that it should be fit that water should come in there? So Taisus says, because the pasuk says, v'rachatz es kol besare, that when it talks about halachas of tevila, of immersing in the mikvah, says he has to wash his entire flesh, which sounds like even the hidden parts of a person where there's skin in the inside too. Now, but on the other hand, the pasuk does says, as we mentioned, v'yadav, which the Gemara Masechtas Nida learns out, just like a hands are on the outside and revealed, so too, regarding immersion, has to be what's on the outside, which excludes the beis hasarim regarding the hidden parts. Now, however, but says Taisus, since there is the word kol, which sounds like it is included beis hasarim, but beis hasarim being excluded from the comparison to the hands, so that's where Rebbe learned out this same middle ground as we'd say by mincha, like Rebbe Zeira said over there, that you're right, the water does not have to go in there because it's not like the hands, but it has to be fit that water could go in there, just like you would learn that from the word kol, and that's why, interestingly, that although Rebbe holds that, like Ula said, that the tongue is considered a hidden, concealed part, which does not require tefila, but it has to be that if water were to come into that, it would be able to touch every part, and that's why he made a shift to go ahead and do a new tefila after she cleaned out her teeth and flossed, that because the bone between the teeth would be considered a chatzitza. So now that the Gemara discussed all the different relevant aspects of when it had asked this question from the elders that had asked Rav Amnuna that question, and actually Rav Chizkiya had told him that it was a machlekes in the Braisa, and once we introduced it, we had all those other clarifications of all those other Braises. The Gemara returns now in Amud Beis to say that actually Ketanoi, this machlekes that we mentioned that Rav Chizkiya had brought from the Rebbe and the Rabbanan, we find actually an additional component, the same idea that it's a machlekes Tanoi and regarding the emasculating of the testicles of the Eved, if that's considered a revealed blemish or not. And we find this in a different context. This is regarding emasculating an animal and its validity of being brought as a carbon. So the pasuk says in Vayikra, it says umor, and if it's squashed, or v'chasas if it's crushed, v'nasik if it's torn, v'karas and if it's severed. That's what the pasuk there concludes. Lo yisekriv l'Hashem, you can't bring such a carbon to Hashem. And moreover, v'artzchem lo yisas, you're not allowed to do this in general in your land. You're not allowed to do this to an animal to sever its testicles. Now says the Tana, kula mebeitzim, all of these things apply to the testicles. That's the Rebbe Yehuda. Now the Gemara asks, bebeitzim v'le beginis. Rebbe Yehuda is saying that this only applies to the testicles and not to the member itself. But for sure, the halacha we know what creates a mum by an animal not to be brought as a carbon is it has to be shebagoli, it has to be revealed. Now, definitely the gid itself is more revealed than the beitzim. So on that says the Gemara, ele kulon af bebeitzim de Rebbe Yehuda. Rather, what Rebbe Yehuda's opinion was, is that he was saying that all these apply even by the testicles. And you don't say that it's considered a concealed blemish, because although it's inside the sack, but it's still considered that it's revealed. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Rabbi Yezim Yaakov Emer, he says, no, kulam begid. All these different problems of it being squashed and crushed and so on is only in the gid, in the member itself, but not in the testicles, because they hold that, no, that is considered a mumtaman, a concealed blemish, and it's not considered a revealed blemish. Again, that same achlekes that we have between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. Now, Rabbi Yossi, I mean, this is the added component that we didn't mention before. He actually differentiates, depending what type of a blemish, if it'll apply only to the gid or also to the beitz. He says, ma'och b'chasus, regarding being squashed and crushed, he says, that's af b'beitzim. He says, that's also even by the testicles, because that's very much recognizable. So although it's inside the sack, but you could tell that it was a heavy blow to it, and therefore it's a revealed blemish. But regarding nasuk, which is when it's torn, which that's done by hand, and that's totally severing the strings that hold together the testicles from where it's attached to the body. Now, however, it's still hanging inside the sack, where again, as Rashi points out, this nasik, this being torn, is more than the next term of karas, whereas the Gemara says in Masechtas Menachas Nunvav Amabeis, where you actually could be liable for creating this blemish in an animal, which you're not allowed to do, when you do nasik acha karas, because nasik is more than karas. So if you did nasik or v'charas, where when you cut the strings which the testicles are hanging from in the sack, but it's still a little bit attached. It's not totally removed. Rather, nusik is when they totally remove that. On that, says Rabbi Yossi, that's begid in bebeitzim lo. That would only apply to the gid, not to the beitzim, because that's not so recognizable. And therefore, he would consider that as a mum natcha begali regarding the beitzim, again, when it's only nusik bekars, when it wasn't like a huge squashing or crushing. And therefore, he differentiates, actually, if that would be a mum shabu gali, where it has its relevance regarding what they're talking about over there regarding karbanis and regarding the isra of doing that to an animal. And moreover, it'll also have its halachic relevance for the discussion of our parak regarding the Eved Kanani, if that's going to free him or not, because again, he only gets freed when it's a mum shabu gali and that it's enachais. So it's a machlaikis, three-way machlaikis regarding if always yes, always not, again, regarding the beitzim, or depending on what type, if it'll apply to beitzim or not. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous three Mishnayos, which were speaking about kinyanim, acquisitions, where up until now we were talking about humans. We first spoke about a woman as a wife, spoke about an Eved Ivri, we spoke about Eved Kanani. Now the fourth Mishnah talks about kinyanim in an animal. So the Mishnah says, Behema gasa niknis bimisira. A large animal, where these are large types of, like a cow, a large animal, there are certain categories, behema gasa it's called, could be acquired with misira, when the owner gives it over to the purchaser, and then he gives it over by him holding now either the saddle or the hair of the animal, as we learned in the Braisa on the Afchav Beis, Amid Beis. How does misira work? So on that is the first opinion mentioned in this Mishnah is saying that a large animal could be acquired by handing it over, but that's in contrast to mishicha, which is by drawing it. That's not a valid kinyan because that's not the normative thing for a large animal to make it go in front of you, and therefore that wouldn't be in the way of acquiring it. And the hadaka b'hagba, and a small animal, which is a certain type of category, doesn't mean literally the size of this animal, for example, like sheep, things that are considered behema daka, which literally means to say thin, they're acquired by hagba, by picking them up, and also not through mishicha. So neither are by drawing, it's either by mesira or hagba. That's divrei meya v'rebbe Eliezer. They disagree. They say behema daka niknis b'mishicha. The small flock, they could be acquired by drawing them to the person. Now the Gemara tells us that Darish Rav b'Kimchunya. In this place, Kimchunya, Rav had expounded and he said behema gasa niknis b'mishicha. He was teaching halacha to the people. He says a large animal could be acquired by drawing it. So the Gemara tells us that Ashkechinu Shmuel etamida de Rav. Shmuel encountered the students of Rav. And Amalu, he said to them, Miyam Rav, did Rav really say this? He heard about the lecture that Rav gave, that behema gasa niknis b'mashicha, that a large animal can be acquired by pulling, by drawing it. But v'anam b'mesirut, now we learned in our Mishnah that everyone seems to say a large animal is acquired by only handing it over. And moreover, says Shmuel, v'rav nami b'mesirut ama. Rav also was always accustomed, I always heard from him that he said a large animal is acquired by giving it over. Hadr mei mahi? Did he retract from what he had always said up until now? That's what Shmuel had asked from the students. So now the students responded, yes, he retracted. Hu da amar ki haitana de tanya. He was actually now teaching like the Tana of the following Braisa, where v'chacham aymrim, the sages say that zu b'zu, both the behema daka, the small type of animals, and behema gasa, large type of animals, niknes b'meshicha, they're acquired by pulling, and it's like that Tana who Rav ended up switching to and holding like these chachamim, and that's why he paskin when he was teaching in Kimchunya that behema gasa is niknes b'meshicha. Now, the end of that Braisa says, the Rabbi Shimon Oimer, he disagrees, he says, Zubazu b'hagba. He actually says that both behema gasa and daka are acquired not through mesira, not through mesicha, but rather by lifting them up. Now, it's on this opinion of Rabbi Shimon that maskev l'Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef asked on Rabbi Shimon, El me'atav, that's the case, the only way you could acquire an animal is by picking it up. So, pil l'Rabbi Shimon b'mayikna, how could a person acquire an elephant? How can you buy an elephant from someone else? You cannot pick up an elephant. So, Amalei Abaye says, to Rabbi Yosef, he says, very easy, b'chalipin, a different type of an acquisition, by giving the kerchief to the person you're buying from, and then you acquire the elephant. Or Inami Abai says another option is b'seches mekaimai, which is in when you rent the place where the elephant is on top of, now he's in your domain. It's through that you acquire him. In other words, regarding the body of the animal, you're right. We've been talking up until now what you could do with the animal itself. Type of acquisitions. Meshicha, Mesira, Hagbah, they're all with the animal, the object itself. Regarding that, according to Rabbi Shimon, you're right, there's nothing you could do. You can't pick him up. But there's other ways, not through the object itself, but rather through Chalipin or renting the place where the object is. Rabbi Zeira, he actually says, no, another option you could do is Mevi arba kelim. You bring four different utensils, strong ones. Umanichan tachas raglav, and you put it underneath his foot. Where now you're acquiring him through because he's in your utensils now. Now the Gemara, however, says regarding the answer of Reb Zeira, shamet mina. So could we infer from Reb Zeira's answer that he holds kelim shalakech brishus meicher kan lakech, that the utensils of the purchaser, if they're in the seller's domain, that the purchaser has now acquired it, where actually some machlikas in Baba Basa, Peyim and Aleph, sounds like that he's saying that the way you acquired it from the seller is bring your pails, and even though you're in the seller's house, now he steps on them and now he's on your utensils, so now you acquired him as if he's in your domain because he's in your utensils. But your utensils are in his domain, in the seller's domain. So the Gemara says, no raya, because Hachma Hiskina, what we're discussing over here, Reb Zeira's option is Besimta. We're talking about a corner which is near the public domain, which actually does not have a status of public domain or private domain. It's like this no man's land. So it's regarding such an area where if he puts his kalim and the animal steps up on it, that's where you'll acquire it. But maybe if it was in the Rishus al-Lameicher, maybe Reb Zeira would agree to the other opinion that would say that you would not be able to be kind of. Or as the Gemara continues at the top of Chava Manav, a third option, Inami, the way you could have actually, this answer is saying, you could actually even have the kinyan of Reb Shimon of Hagbav, picking up an elephant, how do you pick it up? Bechavilis Meiris, with robes of vines, which are higher up from the ground, at least 3 tefachim. And then you have the elephants, you move them to step on top of these vines, where since they're lifted up at least 3 tefachim from the ground, that's already considered Hagbav, lifting it up, because it has to be lifted up at least 3 tefachim up from the ground so that it's removed from what's called in Halacha Lavud. Because if it's not 3 tefachim up, you didn't really take it away from the ground because we consider it attached to the ground within 3 tefachim. If you have it move up on top of these vines and that's how they're lifted up, more than 3 tefachim, that will be considered like you lifted them up more than 3 tefachim, and that would be the kinyan of Agbah, and that will be a way of acquiring an elephant, even according to the opinion of Reb Shimon.